Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Avery Zaretsky and Cody Frankel. How are we feeling? Game four, tough loss. Avery, I got to see you over the weekend. It was great seeing you. Vibes were high when I saw you. Not as high now. What's going on? What's going through your brains?
I mean, it's not ideal, but it's also, it's the same thing we've been saying, right? The series is going to probably go six or seven games regardless. The Rangers write their own destiny, and they're the team of destiny. So right now I feel like they did their job. They went on the road and got their win. Ideally, you want to win that game, especially when it goes to overtime, but they just didn't have it. The Panthers were the more desperate team. But when I think when it comes to desperation, I feel like the Rangers are a better desperate team than the Panthers. They just weren't playing as desperate as they needed to play. That makes sense.
Makes sense. Cody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Avery said it pretty well, right? Like, you know, in hindsight, what are we doing here, right? It's 2-2. I don't think any of us would be mad if you told us it was going into game five at the beginning of this series, as opposed to looking at a 3-1 deficit, sweep, whatever it is. I think it's very evident that they've outplayed us in this series to date. But the difference is, they're trying so hard, and you know, all their stars are clicking. While ours aren't, right? Like Panarin hasn't done a thing. Mika hasn't done a thing. Kreider's.
Well, Panarin at least had two assists last night.
I mean, dude,
if you want to call that. Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't done a fucking thing. Like we're talking about a 120 point player here, man. Like yeah. we a guy who scored 47 fucking goals. Like we need, you know, we have Barkov and fucking Tkachuk and Reinhart up our ass, okay? Yeah. Shooting every time they see the puck. Like, why are our stars not doing that? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. Like, I'm hearing a lot of things of people being pissed off, and it's rightfully so, right? It's like our team is the only team that stars aren't clicking. Out of all four teams right now, our team is the only team. So the good news to that is our stars haven't clicked yet, and we still found a way to win two games. And I think that's a very, very important takeaway. And it's a best of three series now, boys, and we're home. So I still like our odds, and I still take us all day, especially knowing if we can get one of Panarin or Mika going.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't say Panarin's done nothing, right? You got to look back to what he's done so far in the playoffs in terms of, he wins us that game in Carolina. I agree it's okay to be hard on him, right? Like, we need him to be the Panarin he was in the regular season. And we know it's different here, right? We talked about on the podcast that he's been smothered and he's had a tough time getting mm-hmm. that space that he's so good at creating. But also it's like this every player is accountable, right? You hear them talk about it in the press conference. It's like every player has to hold each other accountable in these moments. And yes, it's easy to get on a guy like Panarin and Mika, but it's a team effort at the end of the day.
But and it's funny too.
We're getting support from the rest of the team. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, Lauf has really stepped up. Gaudreau's obviously really stepped up. We have other guys stepping up, which we haven't had the entire season. I know Lauf obviously had 28 goals, but you know, I think it's really like it. I don't want to say it's put up or shut up, right? But it's like, we're talking about winning a cup here, man. And to win a cup, like we need our stars. We're just not going to, you know, if somehow we pass Florida, like, I don't know if we can get past Dallas. If Mika, Kreider and Panarin aren't doing their thing, like there's no way. They have nine fucking guys who have like 20 plus goals. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, there's gotta be a line where they realize, like, I mean, listen, I'm sure they know all this stuff. I'm just honestly ticked off about Mika's fucking quote. I think it was candy ass.
What was the quote?
He was like, he gave a quote about making the bad pass and was just like, yeah, yeah, I'll think about it next time. Like, that's sports. Like, no, dude, show some emotion and show that you care. Like, I get, like, I don't know, man. I just got a whole bunch of texts about it today, all about the Mika stuff, and I saw it, and the more I looked at it, it just made me mad because it's like, you know, you got guys like Lauf really throwing himself on the line here. You got Igor making these insane saves, wasting an unbelievable Igor game. And I just feel like at least like, yeah, it like Kreider immediately said in the press conference, he made a mistake at some point. I forgot what he said it was about, but he's like, yeah.
He said he didn't play good. I didn't play good enough.
Yeah. Mika can't take accountability. He's like, dude, just say you made a bad pass and next time you'll write it or whatever. You'll try to, whatever. Like, don't cut around that. I just don't like that shit personally.
Especially when Wheeler kind of goes up there today and Wheeler also says, like, you know, I asked Jesse after if he'd rather me let him take it, you know. Because Blake Wheeler now gets a lot of blame for a play that's not even remotely his fault. Like, you put anyone else out
there. It was on Mika, dude. It was on Mika. It's 100% on Mika. It has nothing to do with Blake Wheeler.
There's no question about it, but there's also the people like, why was Wheeler out there in the first minute and a half of overtime? Like, when he
had. Who cares?
But the thing is, too, like, you know, Laviolette, say what you want or you can speculate or whatever, but they healthy scratch Philip Hedl. You know, we were told before the game, Hedl's fully healthy. They want to get him up to speed. And then they have Blake Wheeler out there in overtime who hasn't played in 3-4 months. And he's the one trying to catch Barkov on the breakaway. It's just, it's a bad look is what it is, you know? But again, like I don't think anyone's questioning the coaching or anything like that. It's kind of just the bottom line is the best players need to be the best players.
I said this against Carolina and maybe even against Washington. Like, listen, Lavi's great. Like, coaching can only get you so far. We need our guys to show up and do their, like, you know, he can't hold their hand. Like, we need everybody to contribute to what Avery was saying. Like, yes, it's a full team effort, totally. But, dude, you look to your stars to, like, get you there. Like, you know, if we're talking about these one goal games that we've, I think now we're going on the 8th one goal game in a row, like,
we lost game 1-3-0, but I know what you mean.
You're right. Outside of game one, I think 8 of our last 9 games have been one goal, and I think it's just like, or 7 of 8, something like that. But like,
dude, a lot of close games,
and we know these next 3 games are going to be close. Like, we're in the series, we know they're going to be close. We know Igor is going to keep us in the game. We need Mika, Panarin, Kreider, one of those guys to step up and do their thing. And like, I think a lot of that is what Avery's been saying all season long about being power play merchants. And we've been a little stymied on the power play. I don't know.
Well, the power play looked really good last night. I think they did their job in terms of like wildering the attack. Like the biggest issue so far is that when the Panthers get aggressive, the Rangers haven't been able to set up. They finally got the clean passes they were looking for and able to get the Panthers to actually respect their power play, which is ultimately what's made the Rangers successful. But when you look back in previous years and you got guys like Mika and Kreider and you ask them to step up, you look at the Pittsburgh series, right? Game 6 and 7, they were probably our 2 best players. So I'm not worried just yet.
I mean, a week ago we were putting Kreider's number in the rafters.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just like, it's like the typical Ranger fan stuff. And I know we expect them to perform every single night, but like, they did their job. They got the win and they're coming back to the Garden. Best 2 out of 3. We really have them in a spot where we want them.
You sound defeated, bro.
Yeah. Well, I honestly don't know what's wrong.
You've been crying all night.
No, I just don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm not upset about the loss, but I've been screaming all weekend. I have my brother and cousins here. Like Sunday was really fun. And, you know, obviously last night was fun up until the final goal. But, my body kind of hurts for some reason. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. I wish my voice sounded better because I feel good about where
we're at. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You sound like shit.
Yeah, you sound good.
I feel good. I do. I feel good about where we're at.
You look good. Well, anyways, to save us all from Avery talking any further, before we go into fan questions and stuff, I want to talk about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your NHL and NBA playoffs this season. Every stat matchup, line odds, live odds with all the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker. I know Avery's a big poker guy. And, you know, head to the website today, get in on the action, and don't forget to use the promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Back to the show.
So there's one thing I actually want to bring up before we do fan questions, and we're going to keep
a new ad.
What?
No, that was a totally different ad. They just fucking sent me that.
We're gonna keep today's episode a little bit on the shorter end. Also, we'll hype up that we got Steve Gelbs coming on Friday. For all those Met fans that listen to our show, we'll talk to him at like noon Friday after game 5 to get his thoughts on that.
The Mets suck, dude.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that with him on Friday. But I was in Florida and I saw a lot of family, you know, over the weekend. That was another perk of playing the Panthers. I got to see my uncles, my you know, cousins, grandparents. But my uncle, who's like not the biggest hockey fan, you know, has moved to Florida 3 years ago, was talking about the game to me. And he actually made like this is going to be so cheesy and whatever, but he made like an interesting point. Like these last two games have been such a reflection of like what life is. Like the Rangers, and hear me out here. So in game 3, you know, the Rangers come out, they play a great second period, then nothing is going their way in the third. Like anything that could have went wrong goes wrong. And a lot of the negatives that we're talking about after game 4 were pretty evident in that third period in game 3. But because Wennberg scores that overtime goal, none of it's really a discussion, you know? So like the point my uncle made was, you know, it's just like life. Like when things are going bad, like it feels like they're never going to get good. But once that one good thing happens, it makes the bad all worth it. Right. And like game 3, we're all happy go lucky. We're like, you know, we fucking stole one on the road. Everyone's in a good mood. Game 4, that doesn't happen. So we don't get the good thing. And now it just feels like it's never going to be good again. You know, it's like, what the fuck? Like what happened here? Why is it so bad? You know, and you just need one good thing to happen again in game 5. And then you're back at it. Right. Like, it was fun. Like, it's just so funny hearing that from someone who, you know, granted, like he's been around hockey here and there, but like not a big hockey guy. And the point he made, I thought, was just so true being a sports fan. It's like, you know, especially as we have to wait that one day between games now, it's like that bad taste is left in your mouth and you just feel like nothing good is going to happen. But then all it takes is one good play in the next game. And then all of a sudden it's like the Rangers are fucking back, you know? So these days in between, like, I think between games 3 and 4, like, we're talking about, you know, planning the party after the Rangers clinch on home ice in game 5, right? Like, that's kind of how much we believe, even though they didn't play their best in game 3. And now in game 4, it's like, oh, they better fucking win game 5 or else our season's done. You know, it's just the emotions of a playoff run are so, honestly, so fun. Like, even when it's bad, it's still fucking fun to feel something that deep. And that's just something I wanted to say. And I thought it was, like, super interesting.
Well, yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's what we've been talking about, right? You just got to stick to the script. We've been saying Rangers. I said Rangers 6. You guys said Rangers in 7.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of when it's going to happen. It's just how it's going to happen, right? And we expected them to pretty much get a sweep or win in 5 against Carolina. It didn't happen that way. But in the original series preview, we all said 6. Rangers in 6, and it was always meant to happen that way. And you think about in 1994, we like to talk about the correlations, right? Think about how the Rangers felt at that point in time. They had the best team that they felt like they've had in their lifetimes. This is how we feel that way right now. They go into New Jersey, they split, and then they lose game 5 at MSG. Messier makes a guarantee, and then they win in game 7, Stephane Matteau. So it's like,
That's
an absolute sweat. And that's like something that could completely happen with us. So we just have to keep our heads and think about the end goal is winning the Stanley Cup. This is the team of destiny. Just let it play out. And like I always say, enjoy these moments. It sucked to lose in overtime, but we always talk about adversity and teams needing to lose to figure out how to find a way to win. And the Rangers, you know, sometimes they need to be humbled. And I think Mika Zibanejad needs that. I think Christopher Kreider needs that. Like all the guys need that. So we're good.
Good stuff. All right, let's do some fan questions, which are brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Rangers fans, if you own a business or work at a company that accepts credit cards as a form of payment, then listen up. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. So email fellow Rangers fan Brett at brett@breakawaypayments.com or visit their website, www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. So let's get into a lot of questions that we have here, which, you know, again, I don't look at these before we do them. So we'll start with this one right here from Brian.Corey05. What change could Laviolette make that would help the team the most?
You go first, Dave.
Sorry, I was answering a work text. Can you ask that question one more time?
What change could Laviolette make that would help the team the most? I mean, we saw Kako up there with Kreider and Zibanejad on the first line. You know, I was kind of thinking, I know Brodzinski took a warm-up in the last game. Do you think Brodzinski comes in some facet? You know, do we keep Wheeler in? Like, these are all questions that we have to ask. Hedl was probably going to come back in, I would think.
Yeah, I think that I actually really like the Wheeler play because it's probably the best game you could have got him into, right? I feel like they were eager to get him in, and you're up 2-1, and it seemed like there was no harm, no foul because the Panthers made lineup adjustments, right? They took out Lomberg and I forget who the other
– Cousins. Other guy.
Yeah, Cousins.
They put him in Rents and not Poso.
Right. So I think that making that lineup adjustment was fine, and I do think that Hedl comes back in. I really think the game three lineup was solid. I know Hedl didn't play his best game up on that top line, but
I think Roslovic is also done on that top line.
Right. I that was my one adjustment is I think Roslovic needs to sit a game, man. I don't know. I don't know who for, but yeah, it just hasn't been his best. I know he has a higher level of play, but it just really hasn't been his best. I think he needs to see a game from the press box.
Cody?
No, I'm completely in line with Avery. He's had a sloppy series, right? I think we can all acknowledge that. He's having a lot of trouble controlling the puck when he's trying to zip down the ice. You know, he tries using his speed to an advantage, which I think is an advantage. The problem is he doesn't have the best puck handling skills and continuously just, you know, fumbles the puck and can't control it. And then it leads to a turnover. So I think that's something that's obviously not ideal. The problem is like there's more than one guy in hindsight who should probably be sat right now. And we only have like that one spot. Right. So it's like, you know,
well, who else would you sit?
I mean, couple guys. I mean, I
no, like realistically though, like who?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make Avery upset, but like, you know, I'd sit Kako if we had.
Are you kidding me?
I actually thought Kako was solid in that
Cody, game. You can't no. Think you sit Kako after these last two games. He's played great.
Dude, I need him to score fucking goals. Enough of the goddamn okay. Two. No, I'm just totally messing with you, Avery. I'm just grinding your gears, dude. No. No, I mean, yeah, no, Kako's been solid, but I think, like, obviously Roslovic's won. You know, VC's hurt, which is was kind of a blessing in disguise. Why? Because I don't think VC was playing that well. Do you?
I mean, he had a bad what? What game did he get hurt? Game one? Game two?
No, he got hurt game two. Yeah. Game two? But he didn't have a good series against Carolina either.
Are you sure he got hurt game two?
Yeah, I think so.
It was after the Lomberg hit.
I thought it was game one. Either way. Maybe. I think VG's been – I mean, he's been fine. The fourth line has not been an issue.
Yeah. I mean, so are you just saying to play Hedl for him?
Well, I think Hedl might be more beneficial back in the middle.
I mean, Hedl hasn't played well. Let's get that out there. Like,
but he's also playing his offside wing. Like, he's not necessarily in the position.
Shooter's going to shoot, bro.
I think – Hedl, I'm trying to think of a line combination that would be best. Like,
there is none, right? Like, if you're moving him to center, then you're moving Wennberg off it, and Wennberg's played pretty well.
Wennberg can play the wing though, possibly. I think having Hedl at center might be better than Wennberg at center.
I just like, disagree.
I mean, that's asking who would you rather play by center?
I disagree in the sense of if you want potential points, you play Hedl in the top six.
But and I think before the season had started, if you were asked who would you want this Rangers third line center to be, Philip Hedl or Alex
Wennberg, of course,
nobody
was
saying Wennberg.
Of course, but yeah, I mean,
and I'm not saying Wennberg should sit, but put Hedl in that position.
Do you even teeter with the idea of breaking up the quote unquote second line?
I do.
Trocheck, Lafreniere, and Panarin.
Yeah. I do actually. I would move Bread because he's if
I think that's a full panic button if they do that.
Is it though? I mean,
they've
it
been
is,
together all year.
I know. But
if anything, just double shift Lafreniere.
Yeah, that's kind of more of what I was saying, right? Like, I think that
I think
that Lafreniere has been playing so well, and it really hasn't felt like he's needed that line to support him, if that makes sense.
No, like, he's feels like straight he's, up taking over.
It feels like he's just making these individual efforts, and I wouldn't hate seeing him get more ice time.
I mean, dude, the way Laf is playing, like, is honestly, I'm going to use this word, it's fucking majestic, because this guy is taking the puck, and every single time he has the puck, he's like, dude, he's dangling it, he's moving it over, like, he's just having fun out there.
It looks like
he is so confident, he's having fun out there, and I love to see it. They're probably not going to move. I mean, not probably. They're not going to change the second line. Like, it's been their line all season. Yeah, but like, to teeter with the idea, like, God forbid you lose game five. Like, I think you have to.
Well, if you lose game five, then it's more of a panic. But game five, I don't think is panic.
I think there's more work to be done elsewhere than messing up the one line that's actually scoring goals for us right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think if anything, you're going to swap up the third line and first line, right? It's got to be those two. Like, do you entertain the idea of, like, I don't know, doing something crazy, like moving Kreider to the third line and you know, moving somebody up with Zib? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to it, but I think they have to make some form of a tweak, because they're just not getting what they want.
Well, hear me out. What if... And I'm just, this is no thought to it, you know, just.
That's kind of what I was doing. Yeah. Like, I don't think they're actually going to do what the second line. I was just like,
yeah, we're just playing a game here. But what if you throw, and again, please bear with me. You move Wennberg down to the fourth line center. You put Hedl in that spot on the third line. You put Gaudreau up with Kreider and Zibanejad as the first line right winger.
He's earned it.
So your fourth line looks like, right now, based on last game, it's Wheeler, Wennberg, Rempe. Then it's like Cooley, Hedl, and I guess Roslovic right now.
Wheeler, Wennberg.
Kako.
Come on, Roslovic. Wheeler, Wennberg.
So it'd be Cooley, Hedl, Kako, Wheeler, Wennberg, Rempe.
So hear me out. I'm going to rebuttal that. What if you move Cooley up to line one?
Yeah, that's fine too.
You play Wennberg.
Well, I'm just trying to give Hedl that center spot.
Sure. But I kind of want to see Wennberg and Gaudreau play together.
That could work.
I don't know.
My thing is with that first line is you need somebody who can get in there and
win the battle on the forecheck.
That's what Cooley does, bro.
That's why
Gaudreau too.
Gaudreau
too, for sure. But I think Cooley's a little faster, probably, right? So I think in terms of like that aspect, it might make more sense to do Cooley. I mean, either way would be good. At the same time, guys, I don't think they're gonna listen to us. They should.
Yeah.
We know a lot. But you know, I don't know. I mean, I just from my standpoint, like, it's like you're going into game five, you're at the Garden. You don't need to blow things up, but like, I think making a subtle tweak that might give you somewhat of an edge and throw Florida off their game a little bit, like, it can't hurt at this point, right? Like,
yeah.
All right, that was one question, so let's move on a little bit.
That's just one question.
Holy shit.
Avery, I was reading one, and this is from the Silent Man 22. Don't want 94 comparison with game five dud against the Devils. Still feel good. Got to win game five.
Listen, I hope so. I don't want to have to sweat out six and seven, but there's been too many to count. So
yeah. And here's the point too. This was a comment slash question from S_Nunzi_. Can we comment on how the fourth line had the best offensive time last night? Like, the fourth line's playing a straight arrow game, whatever the fuck you call it. You know, they're getting the puck, they're going north, and they're staying in the offensive zone for a little bit. Like, I think Rempe should be playing more. You know, I've been happy with his game. I thought Wheeler played good. I thought he did his job. Gaudreau's been fine. You know, I'm all for that fourth line. No thoughts? All right.
We just agreed. Yeah, that
we just agreed with you.
Yeah, this is, I know Avery's gonna go off with this. Brandon_Brandon_ was officiating worse in the Carolina series or this one?
You know what? They have both different aspects, right? I was actually really mad at the officials in the Carolina series because they just wouldn't drop the puck. And I also think that they had some issues. But we always talk about how fast the game is and how it's tough to call. But there were two blatant misses at the end of that game, right? And I understand it's getting down to the wire. You want to keep the whistle in your pocket.
But I saw Peeler reply to your,
I know,
your tweet. Yeah.
And I love Peeler, but when it's blatant, it's blatant. You have one at center ice with Mika. He gets held. That could have generated a complete 2-on-1. And then Kako gets
that tripped. One was way worse, I thought, the Mika one.
Yeah, and then
Kako, it would have been an odd-man rush.
Yeah, and then Kako gets tripped right in front of the referee on a 1-on-1 play. Like, and from my angle, and I was in section 114, and I couldn't really see because the board's kind of covered where the stick hit his foot. And it looked like Kako just fell on his own. I've seen Kako fall on his own before. He tends to do it sometimes. And I was just like, okay, like it is what it is. But when you watch it back, he completely pushes his stick into his skate. Like it was blatant. And the ref saw it from that angle. How do you not call that? And I understand Wheeler's penalty is a complete penalty. I was surprised it wasn't a penalty shot. And I actually probably would have preferred a penalty shot. I think Igor would have had a really good chance against that. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't feel like it was the Rangers game to win. The Panthers just played so much more desperate, and I talked about that a little bit earlier. But in terms of the refs, it was really tough at the end. It was so blatant.
Yeah.
Mm. Cody? Yeah, I mean
– I just don't think you can blame – I know I just said Cody, and I fucking jumped on it. I just don't think you can blame the refs.
In this series, you're saying. I agree. I think – Are you talking about this series?
Because yeah, I don't think you can blame the refs in this series at all.
100%. I think the Carolina refereeing was abysmal, and I think this series, a lot of it's been our own fault, right? Like, we're taking stupid penalties. We are taking some stupid penalties.
The Gus one was soft, but, like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah. No, they're taking unnecessary penalties, like the Trouba shit and the Gus shit and, you know, the Rempe stuff. Like
the Lindgren one. The Lindgren one was really dumb.
Yeah. I mean, so, like,
when he wrapped Barkov behind the net,
And
I don't know why they do that.
Yeah. But even their high sticking penalty they got was bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, guys, right? Like what I said earlier, like that's where coaching can come into play. Like you got to discipline your players better. I mean, like they should know better, but they don't clearly. So I think at some point you got to start talking about like, you can't be taking 5 penalties a game and expect to win the game when you're giving a team with as high octane offense as Florida Panthers 5 power plays a game. It's just not going to be possible. And we're only getting 1 or 2, you know?
Yeah. No, that was my story of the game from game 4 on DFO. I wrote like the Rangers are 1-for-11 in this series. The Panthers are 5-for-15. Like since when, like you're not used to the Rangers losing the special teams battle.
33%,
right?
Dude. Yeah. That's 33%.
Yeah. Rangers are at 9.1. Yeah. All right. Next, Dan_AQ829. Time to move laugh to PP1 over Mika. Thoughts?
Couldn't agree more. I'm couldn't agree more. Mika's not shooting it on the power play. He's just not. He's passing around. He's looking for the space. It's a no-brainer to me, but I don't know if they'll do it because they still fantasize about his one-timer, but he's not doing the one-timer. So it's like,
I don't know. You just stick with what's worked all year, man.
But it hasn't worked this series. That's the thing.
I get it, but do you? Yeah, but I just feel like they've been playing with each other for what, how long now? Almost four years. Yeah.
Here's the only issue with that though. If you take Mika out of that spot, his confidence is just gonna get worse and worse. Like Lafreniere can still be a confident guy, not on the first power play unit. I don't know if Mika has that in him.
But bro, if Lof turns into McDavid.
No, listen, I think it's a fair thing to bring up, but I don't know it has the benefits that everyone thinks it might have, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because if Mika sees one go in on the power play, he hit the fucking crossbar in the first period yesterday. You know, that one goes in, it's 2-0 Rangers in the first period, different game. You know, I think if you take him off of that, it's just the mental aspect to it people aren't really thinking about. You know, you want Mika's advantage out on the ice. You want him feeling confident. You want him feeling good. Right now, it's not there, but all it takes is one thing to go in, and you find it again.
Right.
And Lafreniere doesn't really need much more confidence right now. You know, he's contributing. So I don't know. I think that's just something to think about. We'll do a couple more. This is – I don't know. I can't really answer this one. I don't know baseball. Bobby Christ won. Odds fans would cheer Mika out of a slump like Trey Turner in Philly. I don't really know that reference.
Hey. It like No, because he's been in this weird slump like all year. And Trey Turner's nasty. Not that Mika's not, but something's changed in Mika. And, you know, we saw a really solid Mika the first two series. I don't know what it is. Panthers are obviously better defensively than the previous two teams we played. He just needs to get out of it himself. Like he needs to find that. You know, you're talking about confidence, Johnny. Like he needs to find the confidence to shoot the puck. This is a consistent 40 goal scorer we're talking about, and he just needs to find that confidence. Like we can't do it for him. His teammates can't do it for him. His coach can't do it for him. He needs to find that shit from in himself and start shooting the puck.
Mm-hmm. This one's interesting. Unless Avery, you have a thought?
No, I think Mika's gonna I think Mika's gonna have a big game, and everyone's gonna change their.
That's right, Yeah, Kreider scores three goals in the third in game six in Carolina, and everything goes away. You know, Gaudreau scores an overtime goal. Everything goes away. You know, it's just kind of how it goes. This one's from Andrew_Sart. We have a lot of like new question askers, which is nice. And thank you again to everyone who's been listening to the show, making us third in the United States in downloads for podcasts. It's been unbelievable this ride. But this question is, why is this team incapable of putting together a full 60 minute? And I actually want to jump on this one because you look around the conference finals right now, not one team has put together a full 60, not one. You know, I watched the Edmonton Dallas series too, and Edmonton comes out flying in the first period. Dallas dominates the second, third period, back and forth. You know, it's happened a lot. Dallas, again, they're on the attack. Edmonton fires away in the third. You know, it's just not that there's no full 60 happening with four really good teams. It's kind of, you know, I joked about it a little bit after game three, but it's been a game of runs. You know, like we talk about that in basketball, but these teams, all four of them have a ton of offensive firepower. Like when they get going, and it's hard to slow them down. You know, even the second period, you look at that game in game three, it was all Rangers, right? Like Florida didn't play a full 60 in game three, you know, game four. They probably played a little bit better, but the Rangers had a pretty good first period, I thought. So, you know, it's hard to put together a full 60-minute effort right now.
It's a game of adjustments, man. No team can put together a full 60 minutes right now. The teams are too good. The players are too good to just let another team run all over them the entire game, right? It's just not going to happen. So it's all about going back into the locker room, making their adjustments, and the Rangers have adjusted well throughout this playoffs. I think that the Panthers are just as good a team at doing it. So it's just going to be a matter of who will break first. And the Rangers broke last night, but they also broke the Panthers in game three. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is a bad one though. Shiv brought up a good point. Bob has more points than Mika and Kreider combined in this series.
So bad.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Navid Gordpour, did we lose that game or did the Panthers win? Panthers won that game. They took it to us.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
And the only reason we wouldn't have lost is because of Igor. Igor was amazing. All right. This is a great question. Shane Bullen, what are your panic levels right now at 2-2 compared to Carolina at 3-2? That's a great fucking question.
Repeat that.
What are your panic levels right now with this series at 2-2 compared to Carolina at 3-2? I was way more nervous against Carolina, but also just because of the history factor where if the Rangers blew a 3-0 series lead, you'd never hear the fucking end of it. Yeah. Like if the Rangers don't win this series, no one's going to say they choked or blew it. Like they're playing a really fucking good team, you know, and that's something that I think should be said also. Like, Florida's a really good hockey team, and this is and that's okay to say, you know.
Yeah, I disagree with you a little bit.
What, you don't think they're good?
They're a very good hockey team, very, very good. But to say nobody's going to say they didn't choke when they're a beatable team, I think is a little incorrect because our stars aren't performing, so they that's the I definition guess, yeah, that's of fucking point. Choked. You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
So I agree with you. I agree with you. Panthers are a great team. They're the favorites to win the cup, right? They have been pretty much the whole playoffs, until we beat them and took over and then, you know, the odds shift, whatever. But they're a very good team. Like we predicted this series is going six or seven. Guess what? It's going six or seven. It was always going six or seven. That said, our stars haven't performed. They start to perform, we're going to win this series. It's as simple as that. Like, I really think it's as simple as that. Igor is playing too fucking good to lose this series, to lose two more out of the next three games. He's just playing too good. He's playing out of his damn mind. And Bob is beatable. Like, I'm sorry, he is. He's beatable. He's a very good goalie, but he's beatable. And if Mika and Panarin and Kreider get going, like, I think it's over. Just my thought.
Yeah, I think, also when we talk about stars, we can't exclude Vanderstrom. He's just been phenomenal.
But he's been performing. That's the difference. Yeah. That's why
I know. But when we say our stars haven't been performing, it's like we got Vinny Trocheck. He's still the guy. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, he is the guy, but he's the fourth guy. Yeah. That's the thing.
Well, in terms of what pecking order?
In terms of like the guy, like
it's Panarin, Fox, Zibanejad, Trocheck.
Yeah. And then Kreider's probably fifth. And like the first I would say
that's like league wide where the stars are ranked.
That's 100%. 100%. And like Kreider and Trocheck are probably interchangeable if we're being honest. Like depending on the flavor.
Who did you say?
I said Kreider and Trocheck, depending on what people choose, are probably interchangeable.
Ah, I don't know.
I mean, it was a difference of 5 points in the regular season. It's not some crazy thing. And Kreider literally like a 40-plus goal scorer. No, don't get me wrong. I'm going Trocheck. I think he's playing out of his mind. I think he's been unbelievable this entire playoffs. I'm just saying from a league-wide perspective, like if you're talking about your five guys on your team, like those are your five guys. And four out of those five guys with Trocheck excluded are not performing right now, and that's a problem. That's all I'm saying.
Foxy's fucking spin move on that goal.
That was sweet.
That was sick.
Yeah, that was cool. Cool.
All right. Last one. Avery, give us a word for Melon before we do it.
Of course. You know, I love to talk about Melon. I'm wearing my Melon hat right now in the Rangers Royal Blue. I wear it all the time, and you should too. But first, let me talk to you a little bit about the hat itself, the durability. It's built to last five times longer than any other hat. It's got antimicrobial properties, so sweat doesn't break down the hat. I know so many people who love to play golf with a hat on. The sweat breaks all the hats down. Not this one. Melon is the best. It's built for water. If you drop it in the water, it's going to float. It isn't going to lose its shape. And their comfort and their fit and their sizing is the best. They have all different sizes. They got small, classic, XL to fit any size head. If you go to their website, melon.com, they have a fit finder, and it'll break down any size that you need and the best one that suits you. Now, what we have here is the Blue Crew offer, 30% off. If you go to melon.com/Blue Crew and use the code Blue Crew, you will get 30% off of your purchase. Do it now. Melon rarely does this. So go to melon.com/Blue Crew. Use the code Blue Crew. The code expires June 1st. You'll get 30% off your purchase. Do it now. Best deal going on right now. If you love hats like Cody, like I do, like Johnny does, go get it right now.
The last question we'll do today is from Mike_D92. I love this conversation, this debate. Does Game 5 have that must-win feel? I say yes. I still think this is more of a can't-lose than a must-win. I think the Rangers and Igor could steal one in Game 6. God forbid they lose Game 5.
Yeah, I agree with Johnny.
They could. I'm kind of going to go, and I feel like I'm disagreeing with you guys on everything today, but I think we're having some good conversation. I'm going to go with Mike. And the reason I say that is, can they steal one in Game 6? No question. I mean, the way Igor's playing, they could win day in and day out. Do you want them to do that? And do you want them to be in that position? And do you feel good if they lose Game 5 at all going into Game 6? There's just no way. I think most fans, including us three, and Avery, I know you're lying if you disagree, would be a little bit deflated if they lose Game 5. I think we'd be a little bit
that's like, normal for sure.
You know what I mean? So
I don't think it's season series over.
No,
depending how the game goes, obviously.
But I would say it's like as close to it as it gets. I mean, you don't want to lose Game 5 at home. You just don't, right? Like you knowing you lose Game 5 and then have to go into a top dog home team and beat them, I think
is 94, bro. They did it in 94.
You know what?
That's cool. The similarities are fucking irrelevant, bro.
I'm going to cut Cody off, and I'm actually going to agree with him. I'm going to say this is a must win because I don't think that either one of these teams is going to put two wins in a row together.
Wait, what?
So Avery's agreeing with us and saying now it's going seven, and he's saying the Rangers need to win games 5 and 7.
Oh, you're saying wait.
Okay. Johnny is very dumb. So
no, okay.
1 plus 1 is 2, but if you split 1 and 1, you still need to find that second win somewhere else.
Like all right, here's what I'm saying. If Florida wins game 5, the Rangers will win game 6, but they won't put two wins together.
He's saying it's going to be
so
very
Florida
very
would
difficult.
Win game 7. You're
saying. I'm saying the series is going to go 7. Yes. The Rangers have to win game 5 because I feel like Florida's going to win game 6 and the Rangers will win game 7.
And we're not saying it's not impossible for, you know, anything can happen in a game 7. We've said it a lot, but like why do you even want to be like you feel a lot better winning game 5 and then somehow you lose game 6 in a tight battle. You still feel pretty good going into game 7 at home, but if you have to rally off down 3-2 and then sting a win away like you know, home and then have to go home. I don't know. It's just a position you don't want to be in. Like just please win. Yeah. Please win.
Am I also crazy for, and maybe, you know, if the Rangers do win the next 2 in a row, this happens, but there's a part of me that just wants it to go 7 for the Rangers to win in 7. So we can put the fucking 2015 game 7 to rest. Like, I just want to forget about that game forever.
I honestly, man, I just want to win another game so that we can put the lose in not get a third win in the Eastern Conference Finals. No, because haven't we like not gotten a third win in the Eastern Conference Finals for literally ever?
No, we literally played game 7 in 2015. That's what I just said.
Not in the Eastern Conference Finals. No, we didn't.
We lost on home ice to Tampa.
2015. Sorry. I thought you meant 2022. Sorry. Oh, okay. No, I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah, that's when we lost.
You did
one
not
nothing,
think
right?
I said no, 2022.
No, I did.
Actually, it's fair because we did play Tampa in that series.
We did play Tampa. Yeah, that's what
fair.
Do you mean?
That's fair. All right. Great stuff, Cody. I guess I got no final thoughts. Any final thoughts, Avery?
No, I don't.
Just win. Adam Fox, score a goal for me, bud.
We'll keep everyone posted too on like Saturday night viewing party possibility. Not sure what we're gonna do yet.
You know what? You said it earlier, and I just want to say thank you to everybody. This has been such an awesome ride. Regardless, you just have to enjoy it. And the fact that you guys are all listening along, asking questions, coming up to me at Amerant Bank Arena, saying you love the podcast, that means more to me than anything, and I really appreciate it, and I know Cody and Johnny do as well.
Yep, and if we don't do the viewing party on Saturday, I'm probably going to be watching the game at Brady's, so if you want to come through, come say hey. If Johnny decides he's going to be a little...
Well, there's just a chance, depending on the vibes, this might be a couch game for me.
And no matter what, I'm watching game 6 at Brady's, so let's get a win together, and let's, more importantly, prove Avery wrong. And rattle off 2 wins in a row. LFGR, baby.
I love that.